Hi, I'm Robert Green. Welcome to Visual Studio Toolbox. A couple episodes ago, I had Mark Miller from DevExpress on, and he showed us how to build a Code Rush plugin that would fix up naming convention issues in a project. So if you remember, it was the Gizmo Ball project that had a bunch of methods with lowercase names, and Mark built a Code Rush plugin, and when you run that plugin, the plugin goes through your entire solution and fixes up naming conventions. And that's very, very cool. And during that episode, I thought to myself, well, I'm showing using Code Rush to build a plugin. We should probably spend an episode on Code Rush itself. What is Code Rush? It's a developer tool that you can use to become a better developer and write better code. And if we're going to show Code Rush, we should show some of the other tools that are out there. So some of the Visual Studio partners were on campus a few weeks ago, and I grabbed three of them, and we went to Studio B and had them show us what their tools were. And the three of them are DevExpress, who showed Code Rush, and JetBrains, who showed ReSharper, and Telerik, who showed Just Code. So what we'll do today is the first of the three of these. We're going to look at Code Rush, or actually DevExpress is going to show us Code Rush, and you'll get a chance to explore that. So let's roll that tape, and then we'll come back and talk. Roll that tape. That's kind of 80s, isn't it? So let's look at that, and then we'll come back and talk about it. Hi, I'm in the studio with Mark Miller from DevExpress. Hello, Mark.
Robert.
Thanks for coming in and joining us.
It's good to be back again.
And you are here to basically show us how Code Rush makes developers more productive.
That's right.
And before we dive into demo, tell us a little bit about yourself, a little bit about DevExpress, a little bit about Code Rush.
Okay.
And then I'll ask the leading question, which will set up the demo, and then we'll go.
Fair enough. My name is Mark Miller. I work for DevExpress. I've been working on Code Rush for about 14 years. That included before the Visual Studio days on another host environment. It's absolutely my passion. It's the Code Rush team's passion to have the efficiency be the number one goal, right? We want to make efficiency of development be number one, and so a lot of the features you see today will maybe save a small number of keystrokes, like maybe one or two even. But we really are prioritizing that, and that's been our focus. DevExpress, of course, sells much more than just Code Rush. We also make world-class controls and components and application frameworks, and that's all available from devexpress.com.
So. Okay. And there are two versions of Code Rush. There's Code Rush Express,
yes,
and then the full-blown Code Rush.
Right.
Code Rush Express is free.
Code Rush Express is free. You get, like, 50 refactorings in it.
And then Code Rush is more complete.
It's more complete, yes. It's,
okay.
It's, it has, you know, significantly more features,
right,
and it's $249 license per developer. And so if you have multiple machines, like virtual machines, or you work at home, work at the office, doesn't matter. That's a per developer license.
Okay. So. And people can go into the gallery, the Visual Studio gallery, and download each of those. Download Code Rush Express. Download a trial of Code Rush.
Right.
Try it out, and if they like it, use it.
Fair
and
enough.
If they don't like it, then they can answer to you why.
They can send
how
me
they could not like it.
Send me email. Let me know. Tell us how we can improve the experience for you.
Okay. Me. So. The leading question is, how exactly does Code Rush make me a better developer? Does it give me the ability to write better code, faster code, more productive code, more efficient code?
All of the above.
It makes my life better.
All of the above. The primary focus is on writing the code faster, getting the code written faster, but we expand out from that. We have, like, the fastest test runner available for .NET. One of the things that our test runner can do, for example, is if you have your tests broken into multiple assemblies, we can run those tests concurrently, give you results faster from that. We have the fastest find all reference, the fastest rename in tool available for .NET as well. Mm-hmm. And you really see the differences between that and the competition when you have a really large application, when the application increases in scale.
So I want to keep this more, not so much you versus the competition, but you versus not using you.
Yeah,
so
I'm
a Visual Studio developer.
I didn't want to bag on, I didn't want to name any host environments, aka Visual Studio, so I kind of left them out.
Okay.
But it is faster than Visual Studio's rename as well.
Okay.
So faster than Visual Studio's find all references. So yes, there are features there. So we can compare it to Visual Studio, faster than Visual Studio. With regards to, you know, if you're familiar with code snippets, CodeRush has a version of those we call code templates. Mm-hmm. They are way more powerful, allow you to be way more productive. Visual Studio 10 has got a new feature called Consume First Declaration. CodeRush has that, and again, way more powerful, much more. You'll see it when we go in. We'll go in and we'll explore like all the features in the next few minutes. And or I say all the features. We'll dip into a portion of all the features.
A bunch of features in the time allotted. All right.
All right.
So let's do it.
Okay. So I'm going to go in and I'm going to just hit Control-Shift-N to create a new console application. We'll do that. We'll come in here in the code. We're just going to write some code that doesn't exist yet. So I'm going to type in new hero. I hit the open paren. Coders gives me the close paren automatically. I'm going to get the both of the quotes in there, and now I'm going to pass in, for example, the name of the hero. We'll just say Superman, for example. I'll hit enter. Takes me outside of that. Maybe we'll pass in something else, like, for example, his alias. Hit enter. And then maybe we'll pass one more thing, for example, like the his weight in kilos, for example. I hit the semicolon, and there it moves me to the end of the line. I was inside, and then it takes me to the end of the line. Let's take each of these and let's introduce a local variable.
Whoa, slow down. What did you just do?
I said let's take each of these. Yeah, sometimes we have to do a replay in slow motion, you know. I feel like we should have the slow motion blinking.
I feel like you need to explain the keystrokes you're doing.
All right, so I selected this, and then I hit the CodeRush key, the magic CodeRush key.
Which is?
Well, it by default is Control tilde, which is also this, which is also turning out to be a new shortcut coming in a new version of Visual Studio. So we're probably going to change that up a bit, is what we'll probably do. But you can make it anything. And on my natural keyboard that I have it bound to num0.
Okay.
So so I hit that key. And when I hit that key, based on where I am in the code, a number of options are presented. And here you can see the first three are refactorings, so they won't change program behavior. But they may make the code more efficient, it might run faster, it might be easier to read or more flexible. Mm-hmm. And the bottom one is code, and that couldn't that can actually change program behavior, so menu items from down there. So what I wanted to do is I wanted to introduce a local variable for each of these three primitives and just give it a meaningful name. So I'm going to do that. Introduce local, and now I'm going to say this is the weight. And then I'm going to come down in here, and I'm going to use a feature called selection increase. And I don't want to, if you don't mind, I'm going to maybe not bog down on the keystrokes so much. But you know what I'll do is let's do this. I have a plugin that'll let you see the keys I press.
There
so
we go.
Anybody let's wants do that. To see this, they can come in and they can just watch, you know, rewind it, say, what did he just hit?
Okay.
Some of these might be bound just specifically to my keyboard, but there's nothing stopping you from rebinding.
Right. I just wanted to make it clear to everybody that there are keyboard shortcuts that you're pressing. You don't have to go to a menu. You don't need to right-click on something.
True.
So once you master the keyboard shortcuts, you're just typing away and things happen.
That's correct.
Okay.
That's correct. And most of everything you see is through one keystroke. It's the CodeRush key, which goes in and gives you access to the refactorings and the fixes, fixes.
Okay.
So I use a feature called Selection Increase. And I'll just demonstrate it. I'll keep hitting it. And what's happening is the selection is increasing by logical blocks, and I can drop it back down as well. And so what I did is I just used selection increase. By the way, beautiful thing in here, if you ever want to work with strings, watch what happens. Selection increase once gets me inside the quote. So if I want to replace it, easy. One more time gets me just outside the quotes, right? Nice little touch. So I'm going to come in here. I'm going to introduce a local. We'll call this name. And then we'll come over here for Clark, and we'll do the same thing. And we'll introduce a local here, and we'll call this the alias, for example. Mm-hmm. So now I have this new hero. And essentially what this is it's an expression. And what's really cool about CodeRush is I can use IntelliSense to generate an expression on a line. Like I can go in system.appdomains.whatever and grab ultimately some make a method call that returns a value. Let's say the value is a type with a really long name. Well, I don't have to type in that long name, and I also don't have to go to a var caret keyword, which is sometimes harder to read. Instead, what I can do is I can just put the caret there at the end of that expression and hit the key and choose declare local, and it will determine the type based on the expression. So now I have hero. I'm going to copy that to the clipboard. Notice,
Can you configure it so that it will use var?
Yeah. Yes. Well, that was the second option. In fact, right here, I can choose implicit, and it'll use var right there.
I see. Okay.
So I can choose whichever one.
Okay.
I tend to lean towards more specific because I feel like it makes code easier to read when somebody else is getting it, and it avoids some of those problems.
I lean towards var because for long names. I hate having to type them twice.
Yes. Well, see, that's the thing is you're truly doing it to save keystrokes to some degree, and which is I think why it's in, why the var keyword came about, right? You had generics, which in order to create a generic, you're talking a lot of keystrokes, right? Including a lot of shift key combinations. Hold on the shift key, get the angle brackets, or in VB.
I didn't have to type it myself. I suspect I'd care less.
So this allows you, if you choose to get it very quickly with no penalty. So I have the key. Notice the orange box around that. That means I'm on a field. If I hit enter on that field, I'll go to the end of the line or the next field. So it's just a quick way to get out to the end. I copied that to the clipboard, by the way. So now I can type in, paste it, type in hero dot, and now I can do something like this. Sidekick equals new, and let's just create something else that doesn't exist. Mortal, and let's pass in Lois, for example, there. And hit enter to get out, and semicolon gets me to the end of the line. Go back down, paste, hero.weakness equals, let's say it's element.kryptonite, like that, semicolon. I'm going to copy that to the clipboard. I'm going to come to the next line. I'm going to type in if space, Codris gives me the parens. I'm going to paste, and Codris converts the statement into an expression. Mm-hmm. Okay? And then I'm going to type in the word or, and hit the space bar. If you, by the way, work in both VB and C#. Nice. That's what we're talking about. Paste again. And what I want to do is I just want to change these to hydrogen and the other one to oxygen is what I want to do.
As a VB developer who trained myself to be a C# developer, I never understood why it was so hard to remember which was or and which was and. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why I had to care.
Sure.
Like
well, it's, yeah, and the other thing is it's harder to hit the symbols for or and C# than it is in VB. And I'll show you that in a second. I'm just going to write stay out of water here because I wanted to finish up this little bit. Stay out of water. But let's compare this for just a moment, right? If I type in and, A-N-D, these are keys that are easy to hit. They're near my fingers on the home keys. I hit the space bar. That's a total of four keys that I'm hitting. Let's compare it with the other way of doing it in C#, which is I have to hold the shift key down, hit the number 7 twice on a US keyboard, right, and release the shift key. Still, four keys.
After looking at the keyboard to remember to where the find ampersand out where it is.
Exactly. Right. It's harder to hit. It is actually easier, even though the keystroke count is the same, it's easier to type in AND space or OR space. The cool thing about Codrush is there's a lot of templates that ease the transition between languages. So if you work in C# and VB, or in JavaScript and C#, or in multiple languages, you can use the same templates to generate the same code as you move across. That's the case most of the time. So as an example, if we were here, let me just drop a marker here and we'll come back in a second. But if I'm up here and I type in the word friend, for example, it'll turn it into internal for me automatically. Right? Let me hit escape to get back to the marker. Okay, so now we've got some code that we've written. It doesn't compile yet. Let's make it compile. So let's start with mortal. We'll come in here and we'll say declare class with property. So I'm just hitting that Codrush key again. And now it's going to build that class for us. You can see it there at the top. I'll type in the word name here for the parameter going in. And notice it's now assigned that there to this name auto implemented property right there. Mm-hmm. You can see there. And I make that change and there it is. When I'm done, you're about to see the start of a theme that's throughout Codrush. Codrush, when it generates code, takes you to the code that it generates almost all the time. And now that you're there, you can then modify, tweak to your heart's content, and then when you're done, you hit escape to get back. Mm-hmm. And you can do this. It's like dropping breadcrumbs as it moves down, right? As you go through, you go from place to place to place in your code, you're extracting a method, you're introducing a local, you're doing all of these things. As you go far away from the code you started, Codrush will drop a marker, you hit escape to get back. So we'll hit escape now, and we hit escape to get back, and now we're back down to mortal where we started. And you notice it shifted the view as well to where we started in there. So there's mortal, and so now we have mortal declared. Let's go look at elements. So let's declare this as an enum. So let's go in here and we'll choose declare enum. And look what Codrush does. It finds not only kryptonite, which is where we were, right, but also finds oxygen and hydrogen on the next lines, right, even though the code didn't compile, right? But it found that. This is part of Codrush's deep scan technology. And it's something that Visual Studio does not have. There's nothing like that inside Visual Studio yet. Finally, we're left up here with Hero. Let's go ahead and declare this. We'll come in here, choose declare class with properties. And there's the declaration, and we really don't have to do anything here. It's got everything for us.
It saw all the properties and knew what to do with them.
Right. Hit escape to get back. I could have had more things on here, right? I could have had methods like, for example, hero.fly. But there's no real restriction on the order in which you declare these, right? Mm-hmm. I've now just added this. I can come in here and now declare the method. I can target it to tell it where I want to put the method, just using up and down arrow keys. Mm-hmm. Enter will pop it in there. I can work. work as much as I want, and when I'm done, I hit escape to get back to where I started. Mm-hmm. Okay? So that's kind of an introduction into a feature called Consume First Declaration. There's a lot more there, but that's some of the basics. Let's now take these classes we've created. We have three of them. Notice over in the solution, we still just have program.cs over here. Let's take each of these classes and let's move it to its own file. So again, I hit the code rush key, move type to file. It's now created a file called mortal.cs. Do it again with element, hit escape to get back, do it with hero, and do escape to get back. Let's go in and
is there the ability to create a new class library and put those in those and automatically wire up the reference, or would that be something you'd introduce in the future?
Yeah, that we don't have right now the ability to say, let's take a class and move it to its own library. We don't have that. The presumption is you're typically writing that consumption code at this point where you want it to be inserted, but it is something that we can certainly put in the future. Also, there are a number of plugins. If you go into DevExpress and choose community plugins, we'll go out here to the community site. Let's see if I have internet access here or not. I'm not sure if we'll. It looks like maybe I don't. I'm not sure. I had it in another building, and now maybe not. At any rate, it'll take you there. You can search there for plugins. We have over 100. I think we have over 150 plugins right now, written by community members. So those are there, including some that do what you're asking about taking it, moving it, and creating other projects, things like that. So let's go into not Mortal, but I want to go into Hero and look at Hero for a second. Inside Hero, notice I have an auto-implemented property of type mortal called sidekick, right? That's the one where we assigned Lois to, right? Mm-hmm. Remember that? Let's say that what we want to do is we want to have that mortal have another counter property that points back to Hero, so that when I assign a sidekick to it, it automatically assigns its Hero property back to us. Well, to do that, I can't do that with simply an auto-implemented property. I have to create some side effects, right, inside the setter. So I can do that by coming in and hitting the code rush key again and choosing Create Backing Store. There you can see in the preview hint the code that will be generated. And now we've just done that. We've created Backing Store for it. Down here in the setter, I can do something like this. I can say if, I just, by the way, copied this to the clipboard. Just hit the copy key. No need to select with Code Rush installed. I type in if, and then I'm going to use a template called NN for not null, and it uses what's on the clipboard, so it just builds that whole thing for me right there. If it's not null, then I can say sidekick.hero equals this, like that. Mm-hmm. I can come over here, I can say declare the property auto-implemented. Again, you're seeing the pattern, right? Mm-hmm. Select the location, hit escape to get back. The only thing I might want to add here is what we call a setter guard clause. In other words, I don't want to be coming down here and executing this if we assign the same value to sidekick every time. I only want to do it if the value is different. And so we can do that with a setter guard clause. Just introduce setter guard clause, and it adds just that little bit of code right there. Right. If sidekick's equal to value, then we get out.
Okay?
So let's go over now into, let's stay in Mortal for a second. So let's look at the templates on this. So with regard to templates, so let me bring those up here, and we'll look at templates very quickly. Over here, this is the training window that I just brought up. And as I move through the code, the training window changes based on where I am. So for example, let's say I wanted to create a new list of mortals. So let me go over here to Mortal, and I'm actually going to take this, I'm going to right-click this and use type in templates, and I'm going to say use MR for that. And so now MR means mortal. And so let's go back over into Hero, and we'll say we want a new list of mortals, like that. And so what I did is I just used a template that the help window off on the side would help me do this, just to get this. And we're going to call this our friends, for example, like that. And now let's create a method. So if I want a method, I can use the letter M over here on the left. You see M, and M like this, and I can call this find, for example. And inside here, I might pass in a name, so I can use V for variable, followed by the type I wanted to create. So S for string, so pass in a name. VS just saves me a few keystrokes. But I can use that everywhere I want a variable. If I want a field variable, VS, if I'm in VB, VS, and it'll give me the correct declaration. What's cool about this is once you latch on to V as variable and S as string, you can now use that. You can now use that everywhere in VB code, in C# code, C++ code, JavaScript, etc. So here we go. We're going to just type in the name here, and now hit enter to get inside. Friends is on the clipboard. I'm going to use FE to create a for each loop. You can see the training window over there showing that to me. FE spacebar, and look what it builds for me. All I did was type in FE spacebar. And now I can come in here and I can say if friend.name equals name, then I can come down here and say return friend, like that. And down here I'll say RN. It's a template for return null. Notice I'm in a void proc. Just put the caret on the return keyword, fix it, choose convert to function. And the preview hint shows you it's going to change it to mortal. Last thing to do is change visibility, and I can just use the alt and up and down arrows to do that, make it public. And now I've got a public find method. Let's do one other quick thing because I want to make sure I don't go over time on my 15 minutes here that you've allocated. Here we go. Encapsulate. I'm hitting the key, choosing encapsulate method. I've got a list here. I'm going to choose add. I'm going to encapsulate the add method. And now I have a method called add friends with no writing any code, right? And it just took the method of the piece that I have the field to, built it for me. I now have a method called add friends. I can very quickly populate and create things like that.
So on, I guess, on average, what do you find? How long does it take for the average user, average new user to get to the point where they've memorized the shortcuts to the point where they become more productive? Because obviously, when you're first learning them, it's going to take you longer to look up the shortcut
than just type it in.
In many cases,
sure.
But then eventually, once you have them memorized, I mean, at this point, when you have them completely memorized and you've done it for years and years, like yourself, it's obviously way faster.
Well,
there's a learning curve, and then at some point, you actually become more productive, and then it kind of shoots up.
Right. It's actually not that big. It's about 1 to 2 hours is what it takes.
Ah,
if you dive in for about 1 to 2 hours, you watch the videos, you try it, your productivity will probably be up at about 10 to 15% higher than what it is.
Okay.
And that's all it takes to get what we would call like a nominal boost in productivity.
Right.
You can ultimately get up to about 130% of what your regular productivity is. That's kind of like, based on what we've seen, based on the averages, because often you'll be writing code and you're like, you know, either you're spending time thinking, you're
right.
not actually
sure.
writing it. But the cool thing is that once this becomes feels good to you, right, M for method,
mm-hmm.
S for string.
Right.
In fact, it's not like I'm memorizing thousands and thousands of things. I'm really just memorizing a rule that says, do the abbreviation of what I want.
Right.
Right? If I want a property, I use P. If I want a method, I use M.
Mm-hmm.
If I want a variable, I use V. Once I have those three things, I'm armed with those, and you arm me also with S for string and B for Boolean, I can multiply those two that I know by these three, and I have six different things I can build instantly.
This reminds me of, you know, the traditional promise of software. Don't spend your time writing plumbing code. Spend your time writing business logic.
Sure.
Everything you've just written is, quote unquote, air quotes, plumbing code.
Right.
There's none of the business logic in it. The business logic was inventing the classes and whatnot, designing them. But now you've just got plumbing code to add and manage, and you spent very little time writing that plumbing code, which is kind of cool.
And it's even faster if you don't explain it. Can I show you one more feature? Can I squeeze one
more
in? Let me show you one more cool thing here. And this has to do kind of
everything's faster if you don't explain it. That is true.
So. Awesome. So I want to I'm just going to go into Mortal. I'm going to implement iDisposable. So we have something to do that, and actually we'll use the recommended ways to implement iDisposable for you. So you've got this code, and if we were going to really write some code here, it would go like in here. Let's go over. Let's just do a tab to next reference. I'm just hitting tab key on this identifier to go through all the mortals. And you'll notice that inside of Hero, we have, where is it? Sidekick, right here. We have Sidekick that is of that particular type, right? And so up at the top here, let me just go right at the top. There we go, there, it's coming in right there. So right there, we have a little squiggly underline. And they're showing up over here as well, these code issues right here.
Mm-hmm.
And this says that, hey, you know what? This class has got a field in it that implements iDisposable. Therefore, this class should implement iDisposable as well.
Okay.
So we can go ahead and click on that to put the fix in. There's the fix. Notice right in here inside the dispose method, we have this. We just put it where we put that.
So these bars on the side.
Yeah, off to the side over here.
The
these are issues that it's found.
And then
the
this
code.
Tells you that there are issues.
Yeah.
Warnings.
Exactly.
So it'll tell you if there are errors, warnings, and then does that disappear when there's nothing?
Right. They disappear. Like for example, here we have an unimplemented method that we have right here. For example.
Okay.
And you know the cool thing about this, you might think, okay, well that's great. It just generated once. But what happens if I come in and like create a sidekick too, for example, like that? Well, CodeRush will come in and it'll say, well, look, there's some issues with Sidekick 2 right here. And so when you hover the mouse over that, or let me do this. I'll show you the shortcut for that is I think it's Alt down right there. So you can go through and you can see all the other issues. But when you hover the mouse over that, oh, come on, I'm only seeing that one. I should see one more. Looks like I may have like a demo bug out here. So anyway, what I was going to say, I was hoping to be able to demo this, but it looks like, let me just do this. Let me just take that out, and I'm going to paste it back in and see if we can get coders to correctly show this one more time. Oh, yeah, unfortunately, demo bug. It should be totally coming up and saying, that's what I was expecting to see right there. Here we go. So now I can show it to you. So it's basically saying, well, look, you can make the field read-only because nobody's assigning to it outside of the constructor. Also, it's unused. But also, look at this. Fields should be disposed. And if we click this to dispose the field, what it will do is if we now tap the next reference to it, it's now modified this, right? It's you can have whatever code you want in here, and then it's going to come in and add this other piece at the end there. So you know, when we talk about building the plumbing code, it's the way I would describe it is, yes, it's there for you. It builds it in an intelligent way. And the cool thing about it is it allows you to kind of, you know, abstract the thinking about the code. Instead of thinking about the specifics of the plumbing, you're thinking about what I need. And it's a higher level of thought, and that tends to lead towards a higher quality design.
Okay, so in 1 minute or less, describe a killer feature of the product that you haven't been able to show yet.
Yeah, so the first thing that comes to mind is a secret feature that we're working on that I can't, I'm bound to not describe.
You want to spend your minute talking about stuff you can't talk about?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Let's talk about, it's a small feature, but it's embedding. It's selection embedding. And so what I can do is if I want to embed this in a try-catch block, I can use selection increase to increase this selection, and then I can use, for example, over here, hit the letter F to put it in a try finally block.
Nice.
Hit escape
okay.
to get inside. So very fast there.
All right.
Let me show you one more. I just thought of another one that I can show you that's awesome. Let's do this. Let's say let's create a new method that returns a Boolean. Jimmy is what we're going to do, and we're going to pass in a mortal here, like that, and we'll just call it mortal, and then we'll come down here and we'll say. Return mortal.name is not equal or equals Jimmy. Okay? So we'll just create this. And let's call this. I want to make a call in here from somewhere. So I'm just going to create another method over here. Just call it call and enter. And then we'll come down here and we'll say is Jimmy. And we'll pass in like new mortal, like that. And we'll pass in whatever, Jim, like that. Okay? And I'll just do a declare local right there. So now we have that. So there's our calling code. What we can do, this is one of my favorite refactorings, and this is called decompose parameter. And what it does is if you're passing in a big class, it can now take that and say, well, you know what, you're only really accessing name, we can pass in a string instead. If you see that the menus are blocking the preview hints, you can hold down the control key, and there you can see what's happening here. We're passing in this, and we're passing in mortal name right there, and we can just hit enter on that. And this is a new feature we're working on, so ignore that. You won't see that yet. Coming out soon. But what it does is it converts that big parameter, mortal, into a smaller parameter, which can often, or when I say smaller, I mean it's of the type of the pieces that are used.
Right.
And that can sometimes be cool. It can take a method that's hard to call and hard to use and make it easier.
Mm-hmm. Excellent. So this is great. I think you did a great job of showing how this can decrease the amount of code I write, make writing code much faster, provide a lot of tips and tricks and hints, teach me how to write better code, and that's cool.
Yeah, it is. I mean, we put a lot of work in this, right?
Uh-huh.
It's built with passion, and we hope it shows, right?
Fantastic. Thanks All for right. coming on.
Thanks, Robert.
All right. Thanks. So that was some pretty cool stuff. I really enjoyed that. I liked seeing Mark show us all about Code Rush. Now, if you want to try Code Rush yourself, all you need to do is go into Visual Studio, go into the Extension Manager, go to the Online Gallery, and do a search. I'll type Code Rush. And there it is, Code Rush Express, which is the free version with about 50 refactorings. Here's Code Rush, the full-blown version. If I select that and click Download, then I go out to the DevExpress site where I can download the free trial or just purchase the product and learn a little bit more about it. And as you'll see when you look at it, Code Rush, the primary goal of Code Rush is to help you write better code faster. So it's about writing more efficient code first, and then on top of that, the selection tools, code generation, there's some refactorings, navigation tools. So it does a lot of those things as well, but the primary focus of Code Rush, I think, is writing faster code. So download it, play with it, see if you like it. As I mentioned at the beginning of this, we shot three of these. So the first one, DevExpress, which we just saw. Coming up next will be JetBrains showing us ReSharper, and then after that, Telerik will show us just code. So we'll see you next time on Visual Studio Toolbox.